kick off hour number four of the Friday edition of Bickley and Marotta here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Tempe Improv this weekend. You got a show tonight, two shows on Saturday featuring our next guest, Patrick Warburton, and guest, and one of those guests, John Wolk, in studio with us as well. Gentlemen, welcome to the Bickley and Marotta
Thank
Show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
There is nowhere else we want to be right now. Nice. Than with you two gentlemen.
I believe you.
So disingenuous.
Nowhere.
I feel bad for the residents of Phoenix because it's been hard to avoid me, I think, the last 2 days. This is our night. How many news TV channels?
This is our 10th and final appearance on radio and television.
But this is our final, so we can just relax.
You know, gentlemen, we've been losing our will to live. I can't go on.
We've been there for years, man. We've been there for years.
Then you know how I feel right now.
We've had a lot. We've been blessed to have a lot of famous people in the studio. There's nobody that is going to have more cred with my kids than you, and I'm going to tell you why. Of all the great cinematic performances in history, your role is Patrick the flight attendant at the Disney Soaring Ride.
Nice work, pal. You know what to
God
do with these little beauties.
Yes.
God bless you. Can you give me something about that? Have you heard that from a lot of Disney files that they just, because what you did with that character in that short little moment is just genius to me.
Ah, well, you know, that was one of those just really sweet opportunities. I grew up on Disney. The day I was there and shot that, John Lasseter was there, and he grabbed me, and he took me around the park, and we hung out for a couple of hours. They hadn't opened Bugs Life yet, so we went in, and John and I sat in there, and we saw the Bugs Life. It's a show. It's not really a ride. It was a show, I guess, you know, for the first time. Like, nobody had been in there. And it was just a really cool day. But I love working for Disney. I always have.
You didn't think that was going to start out with a Disney reference, did you, Patrick?
No. Not on a sports.
But there was a daffiness and an obliviousness to that flight attendant character that was just perfect.
Into pretty much everything I did.
Very on brand. Patrick Warburton and John Wolk in studio with us. Now, what you guys are doing this weekend is performing, for people that don't know, Letters from a Nut, the Ted L. Nancy books, come to life on a stage show. I have the original book, so I'm fascinated to learn that this exists.
Yeah.
Tell us more about this whole thing you got going on.
Well, we read these letters. I think they're some of the most, and as you know, entertaining little ventures and insights into punking corporate America. It's he's done it in just a genius way. He gets very creative. All the letters are real. All the responses are real. And John and I were talking about this, on the other end of the line, they either figure that this guy is mental,
right,
or maybe he's somebody who's testing their
customer
control.
Service responses, sort of like a secret shopper sometimes companies will send in to a retail store to test their sales people.
Yeah.
So it's sort of that coupled with maybe he's a little mentally ill, or he's just, he writes, for example, one of the letters is to a company called the Good Cook Fork Company. And he says, hey, I just wanted to tell you I love my fork. These are the foods I eat with it. Are you guys going to be designing or advancing fork design in the future? Maybe prongs and,
You're killing it right
really.
Now.
Really?
So, I think maybe you should read these letters.
That's fine.
You have great delivery.
Well, then
John, my boy Wonky here, actually, he's worked on the Kimmel Show for what? How many years now? 20?
We've been doing it 16 years.
Yeah.
Over 16 years.
And Wonky here is probably, it's much been speculated in Hollywood, the most impersonated non-celebrity. There are more celebrities do an impression of Wonky.
It's sad. At my wedding years ago, and it's probably why the marriage didn't work out, but during a break, when the band took a break, five comic buddies and a couple of pals from college got up and did dueling John Wolk impressions. Then the audience voted on it was mortifying.
Who won? Anybody we'd know?
Scott LaRose, who's a stand-up comic who's been around in L.A. for years. It was was off.
All right, now that's very flattering, isn't it?
Now call out the worst one in all those years. Who's got the worst
is Guillermo. So he does me doing him doing me. So he'll literally be like, hey, Wolke, where's Patrick? Is he coming by the show today? I want to see Patrick. So it's kind of a meta thing. Him doing me, doing him, doing me. You know, it interrupts the space-time continuum. But getting back to letters, though, yes. Yeah. So Jerry and Jerry Seinfeld and Barry Martyr, his writing partner and dear pal, and Jerry wrote the foreword to all these books, and there's 8 or 9 books out there, just felt that bringing this to life in as a stage show with Patrick reading the letters would be nirvana to them. And they were just tickled that he, you know, Barry had reached out to me, and I in turn to Patrick, and they were just overjoyed that he wanted to pursue that.
Well, someone said, you know, hey, Patrick, you could read the phone book and it'd be funny. And I said, no. I tried that once and it was a disaster. Everybody wanted their money back. It was cute for about 30 seconds. That was it. It did not work. But this is great material.
Yeah, the books are hilarious. And like John was pointing out, the absurdity of them is alarming, but you just can't stop laughing, especially when they get these legitimate responses. It's crazy. Patrick Warburton, John Walken Studio, they're at Tempe Improv. Tonight, there's a 7:30 show. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock and 9:30. TempeImprov.com for tickets, 480-921-9877. What's the response been to this show?
Awful. So we are hoping.
Yeah,
we are hoping.
There's a lot of we want
folks,
our money back.
Yeah, the hope. I mean, I can't. He does a meet and greet afterward. I can't tell you how many people wanted a refund last night. I was hiding in the green room.
Let me rephrase. Okay. Do you, the crowds that come out, are they giant Letters from a Nut fans? Are people not knowing what to expect when they come in?
You know, we've been bussing folks in from convalescent homes. So it's been, you know, a lot of them are a captive audience because these convalescent homes will organize outings. And these people show up and
they don't have a choice.
Yeah, they don't
have a
most
choice.
Most of them, too, and God love them, they've got hearing aids and they cannot hear Patrick beyond the first, second, or third row. So,
well, you know, John sounds very convincing. Whenever we were on just yesterday, and he had our friends, our DJ friends, convinced that I was a Scientologist.
Yes. I was like, wow. Patrick is operating Phaeton level 5, just below Dave Miscavige and Tom Cruise and above John Travolta. And they're like, really? He joined that? I didn't know.
This is how rumors get started.
Exactly. It's awful. Forgive us. No, the audiences have been great. The responses have been great. You know, Patrick has so many legions of fans that it's been really fun for me as his dear pal for so many years to see him doing a live show and seeing these people coming out and kind of pressing flesh. And I've been an acquaintance of his for many, many years. And as I've said, and he's heard me say this many times, I liken myself to stage 4 cancer. But once I enter your life, you've got like an 11 or 13% chance of getting rid of me. And Patrick's been struggling with that for many, 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 many years.
You're a friendlier form.
Yeah. Friendlier form of cancer. Yes. Right. But I'm not in remission, though. I'm not in remission in his life.
All right, Jerry Seinfeld's name came up, obviously. Barry Martyr, his writing partner. There was rumors when the book came out that it was actually Jerry writing these. Mm-hmm. I remember that at the time. But obviously, you've got a connection, Patrick, a strong connection with Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. Going back to the Seinfeld days, we went this long without bringing up Putty. How did that happen? Yeah.
Well, you guys are the first. You know, I did just do a film with Lily Collins and Simon Pegg, and I did a series called a series of Unfortunate Events, which is Emmy nominated. But nobody wants to talk about anything but Putty from. And I understand, you know, it's I'll never do anything that is high profile as that. They're going to be selling the show again for, you know, $500 million, I guess.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's in perpetual syndication, mm-hmm. And I did 9 episodes of a show that. Seriously, I guess I was in serious danger of being typecast because that's what happens when you do a character that is bigger than life, mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of a caricature, then, you know, you well, sure, if you do an entire series, but I did 9 episodes. So it's been an entire career of blessings, but of also having to reinvent yourself. That was, you know, it was a very special time. I knew. I was sitting on the couch with my wife 2 weeks before I ever did the show, mm-hmm. And we watched it religiously. And I remember distinctly saying to her, why can't I get on a show like Seinfeld?
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, I'm reading for Jerry and Larry David. And fortunately, I made them laugh. And I did an episode. And they liked the character enough to bring them back, because it was going to be one episode.
Wow.
But I've had, you know, I'm very thankful for my relationship with Jerry, that I've had the support from a man, a creator, and a genius like Jerry Seinfeld. I've gotten to work with him since on projects like the B-Movie. And I was in New York last year and a half ago doing press for something else, we randomly bumped into each other in a diner. Had breakfast, and then I went to his house for dinner that night with his lovely awesome. Wife and family. Wow. So I love Jerry, and it's amazing. But I look back in my career, there are a few very special people that have helped been significant parts. And the other person is Barry Sonnenfeld, and we did The Tick together. We did a Men in Black movie together. We did Big Trouble together, and we did a series of unfortunate events together.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Barry Sonnenfeld, too, I wouldn't have had some of the great opportunities I've had. Because it's weird being an actor. I have a great confidence in my work, but I don't like meetings. I don't like auditions. I don't like the whole process.
Yeah.
And so when you get involved with certain creative geniuses and they help create opportunities for you, that's a blessing.
Yeah. And there's even tangents off that character, because you had the episode, Devils fan, paint the face. The reaction when you go to New Jersey Devils games all these years later, I mean, you're like a god at Prudential Arena. Tell us about that.
Well, to the best of my recollection, the New Jersey Devils have been a franchise for 40 years before they won the Stanley Cup the first time. 20 years somewhere else, maybe 20 years in New Jersey, I think. I might have the numbers
up. Yeah, they were in Colorado first, yeah.
Okay, so the year we did that episode, they started showing me on the Trinitron screaming and yelling Devils, and then they won the Stanley Cup. Unbeknownst to me, I'd become a little bit of a mascot or an icon in the arena there. So they invited me to come out for opening day for the Stanley Cup champion New Jersey Devils and, drop the puck or do whatever I wanted. And since then, it's just been a long
it's awesome.
Relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. I look at you and a lot of your characters and a lot of your roles just blow my mind. I mean that in a great way. What you did with the National Car Rental TV guy, I just watched that and I find myself just laughing uncontrollably. Where do you go? Do you get a framework of a character and then you take it there? How do you come up with these characters?
Well, I feel like the ad agency involved there and the creative on that opened the door for this guy who he's a bit of an ass. It was really funny. The first commercial, I'm walking through the airport and talking about being a control enthusiast. Not a freak. I don't like that term. As I'm walking by, I'm stealing this woman's coffee, and then I drink it. And I drink the coffee, and I'm like, a perfect 172 degrees, which people, and then there's a cart going by and just sitting on it. It's sort of like just well executed. It's the whole idea is, yes, he's selfish. He's very self-centered, but in essence, this is what the business traveler's looking for.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to deal with anything. I don't have to talk to anybody unless I want to, and I don't. I just move right through. And it works for the campaign. But it was funny. I was on a show one time, and a news show, and the female host, I believe, who was it? Was it Minka?
I can't remember.
I think it was like on CNN or MSNBC.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I got blindsided. I sat there and she goes, how many complaints have you gotten from those commercials? I'm like, well, none so far. But so put off, because in one of the commercials, I'm walking through and I go, I can pick any car I want. I could pick you, or I could pick you. She thought it was so sexist and horrible. And maybe it was a little bit. I go, the guy is kind of a jerk,
right.
And he just walks through. But it's comedy, so let's, lighten up.
You're talking about Patrick Warburton and John Wolk. They're doing Letters from a Nut, Tempe Improv, one show tonight, two shows tomorrow. Is it too hard to pick out your favorite letter from a nut? Is it like picking your favorite kid? I mean, there's so many of them. Is there one that stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, with this show, which has been great so far, is there's we're reading about 30 letters in this one. And the books that Barry has done and a series of emails that he's done as well that have updated them, there's so much to draw from. Mm-hmm. It was tough for us to, you know, go through all of the books that he had and his compilation of emails and pick out the ones that we felt were strongest for this one. But, you know, the goal with this is to go around to cities, do the show. We're going to pitch a TV incarnation as well. And then we want to sort of switch it out, change out some letters, and return to some of the same markets and do more letters from a nut with all new letters. And that's the great thing about it. It's really the gift that keeps on giving. There's just so much that Barry's done. And he still writes emails and ads to the campaigns and gets in quibbles with companies via email. So
with all the books now and all the emails, I mean, how many years' work is that? How far back do these go?
They date back to 1997.
Wow.
So it's been a lot of years that Barry's been compiling some great stuff, and we're thrilled to be involved with those guys. And
I love the you know, when he punks Coca-Cola. I love the Sara Lee. That's a good one. I love the prison. He's, you know, he inquires with the prison. He wants to bring in his you know, his group of mixed martial arts fighters to do a demonstration in a prison, and he says, you know, we're with full MMA rules, and we do a demonstration. It's a lot of kicking, punching, pinching, arm waving, you know. And then they go, no, we can't have that. We can't have, obviously, in a prison, you know, full contact.
The warden writes something that would incite violence.
Right,
or,
yes.
Right, right. The Bureau of Prisons.
And then he'll write back to Yazoo, I'm so sorry. I totally understand. I just have a program I really want to give back. So how about I also have, it's a kabuki mime we do, you know, where mime demonstration, you know, like inside of a box. But there's also sprinkling rain. It's very... you know, tranquil, and then I give all of your prisoners a Chinese takeout dinner. That includes a paper shrimp, tangerine chicken, this and that. And then at the end he goes, please no substitutions. And then at the end I give all of your prisoners a pair of shoes, but I don't have a 9, 10s, 11s, 11 and a halves. I do have 9 extra narrow, one available. Anyways, how does this sound?
And yeah, this poor warden, Bruce Pearson, at the Yazoo City Correctional Facility in Mississippi, you know, gets these letters from this nut that he has to respond to and keep turning down every offer he comes up for to give back.
And then he goes, and it's just, it kills him, you know, until the last letter he's like, I understand. Listen, but you know, I'm a Yazoo. My dad was a Yazoo. We're all Yazoos, and I just want to give back.
Now, Patrick, did I see online that you also front a rock band in your spare time?
I do.
Because somebody the voice like yours should be fronting a rock band.
That's fun. Well, listen, I'm not going to.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
See, all of his friends don't think.
So. Really?
I don't think so. Yeah, we've had a lot of serious late night discussions about the direction of his musical career. And, you know, God.
So there is one. Yeah. There is a musical career.
Yeah. No, listen, it's a cover band, and it's fun, and I'm not going to quit my day job. But I've surrounded myself with really good musicians. I got all my guys in my band are mostly jazz musicians. So, and anytime I play something for them, they listen to it, and they go, all right, let's do it. So, and this is their only rock project. So we just have fun doing it, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. You know, through golf and through, because I have an event for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is the number one golf tournament for the hospital in the nation. And your boy, Alice Cooper, has been a huge supporter of it. And he's come out and played. And Robbie Krieger, Alex Lifeson from Rush, Don Felder from the Eagles. But all these guys have come out. And so throughout the years, got to know all these guys. And so we were just talking about this earlier. But, you know, not long ago, I got to get up on stage with Robbie Krieger, Alex Lifeson on guitar, Jason Scheff, lead singer of Chicago, on bass, and sing Riders on a Storm. But I've actually gotten to do Riders with Robbie probably 6 times, you know.
Wow.
And it's just so much fun. It's just something I never thought I'd ever have an opportunity like this to do. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
I ask because I've got the same thing kind of on the side in my life. And so I saw you singing some Hendrix and your guitar player. I'm like, man, he's got a nice stack of Marshalls back there.
You know, it's all about the gear, you know?
Oh, of course.
It's not about talent or skill. If you've got a great Marshall stack,
right.
You know.
You got a good Les Paul. Yeah, you're all good, man.
You know, a shiny guitar. Yeah. It's, you know, that's half the battle.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, selling it. You
that's
know?
Right.
Fake
With
it till
friends
you make
like Walkie.
Who needs friends, right? Who needs friends?
All right, we got to ask you, too, while we got you, Patrick. We got a lot of Family Guy fans in the audience. Just that whole experience of being part of that cast. That's got to be a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. That was one of those things that just came out of nowhere, kind of land in your lap. Yeah, I had a few pages of this character that I looked at and had to decide right then and there, can you do this? And it's satire. It's an offensive show. Talk about this a lot. Talk about it on the show about how my parents are very religious and they've always felt my soul's in peril for being on the show.
It's true. I have to explain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The nature of satire. Mom, Dad. It's offensive to Christians and Jews alike and Muslims and everybody else. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun, and and Seth's he's just he's a genius. He's doing so much now. He doesn't direct the shows anymore. He's the man. He's like the Wizard of Oz. He's the man behind the curtain now. He's so busy.
Yeah. You guys ever argue about who's got the better speaking voice?
Well, that fellow. For years, I've had people come to me and go, "I love you on American Dad." You go, that's not me, actually. I think Seth stole my voice and decided to do that one. But I gave him a hard time when that show came around. I said, Seth, I'm so excited about the new project you created for me. I can't wait to just get the students start voicing that. And he just was looking at me, and he had this big Cheshire grin on his face. Yeah. But it's fun.
Yep. Yeah. I feel like we need to ask him to do a Cliff Kingsbury impression. He's got such a deep voice, like the Cardinals coach.
Our Cardinals new head coach, a lot of bass in that voice, and it's being Cliff Kingsbury.
That one. Yeah. Oh, we thought you were talking about. There's another Cliff Kingsbury that we're very close to. Yeah, no, boy, that's a great name though, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
good luck, coach. Yeah. And how many times did you get pummeled on the playground with that name, Cliffy Kingsbury?
Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Man, you guys are great.
Patrick Warburton, John Wolk doing Letters from a Nut, Tempe Improv, tonight, 7:30, 7 o'clock on Saturday, 9:30 on Saturday. If you want tickets, tempeimprov.com, or you can call 480-921-9877. Best of luck with the shows this weekend. Enjoy.
Thanks for coming in. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, fellas.
Right.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. How important is the Michael Crabtree pickup for the Cardinals? Your choices? Huge. He's the extra weapon at wide receiver they needed. A solid addition, but he's not going to be a difference maker. He won't be much of a factor. Of those three choices, I got to go with the first one. That's a good pickup for them.
Yeah, absolutely. What's to argue with that?
Wow, that's in last place right now. 23%. 36% say he won't be much of a factor. 40% say a solid addition, but he's not going to be a difference maker. You can cast your vote, whatever your feelings may be. It's today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
Don't you have some dirty jokes to go tell?
It's sports news skewered. The sports kebab.
I always love when we create more pressure on Jarrett on Fridays by having really funny people in right before the sports kebab. It's like, all right, follow that, Jarrett.
Follow that, Jarrett.
So here we go. Follow that, Jarrett.
I know what you mean. I want to thank my opening act, Putty from Seinfeld. This is the sports kebab. Brought to you by Paradise Ridge Dentistry. Get your gums right with Paradise Ridge Dentistry. Open nights and weekends. To text TOOTH to 620-620 and book an appointment online now. And I got to tell you something. It's been a kind of a crazy week for me. Pretty crazy. What a week. I went to visit my nephew, Bennett. I have not mentioned him on the show in a while. He's nearly 1 year old. You know that? His one-year birthday is coming up. And he was at daycare with a bunch of his little baby and toddler friends. So adorable. So cute. At one point, they put a ball between them, and they were rolling it around, picking up and throwing it. It was very adorable. Until Devin Booker showed up and started dunking on all the baby's faces. And it's like, Devin, settle down. This is just a... Now, to be fair, he was octuple teamed at one point when eight of the toddlers grabbed him by the ankles. So it wasn't all that easy. And to be honest, some of those babies were bawling. B-A-W-L-I-N-G. Yeah. Now, I actually love that Devin is working hard this offseason. The video, we saw it. Showing up at pickup games, giving it his all. I mean, he's the hardest working Booker since Dano.
Wow.
Is right, huh?
Wow.
But that
Welcome, Dano.
Yeah, there you go. Great video, though, of him just killing fools on the basketball court. And to watch those videos and actually criticize him, you'd have to have a really low IQ. First of all, the thing I found most interesting, though, about that 20-second clip of Booker is that in those 20 seconds were actually the longest consecutive time that he's ever played with a competent point guard. So that was interesting. And it's not Booker's fault, let's be honest. The Suns just haven't settled on a point guard until this season. Finally. I mean, previously, they had more problems with commitment than Larry King.
Oh, boy.
Have you seen this, by the way?
I have. I can't believe this.
Larry King.
Seven, Jarrett?
Yep.
Eight.
No, seven different women, eight different. Larry King has ended his marriage with his seventh wife.
Ugh.
Now, in all fairness, two more, and he can turn in his punch guard and get his tenth divorce free. So I can see what he's doing. Now, personally, I think Larry King keeps getting divorced because he has never gotten over his first love, Eve. He's an old man. Seriously, though, seven divorces. I mean, the amount of alimony that guy pays is enough to give new contracts to all the unhappy Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, the Cowboys in the news. Zeke Elliott continues to hold out. As Cowboys owner and poorly airbrushed Robert Redford, Jerry Jones won't make a deal. So now the Cowboys might go into the season without their best player. Oh, I had this. Forgot I had a soundbite I was going to play with this. Screw it. Yes. The Cowboys might go into the season without their best player, and I don't know if Jerry Jones even cares, judging by the fact that he surrounds himself with the equivalent of Scar's hyena friends in The Lion King.
He's got your camera.
Yeah, I've heard more authentic laughing from Jimmy Fallon and Kevin Eubanks. Yeah, I mean... So Jerry Jones has to make amends now with Zeke, which will be tough because the only thing Jerry Jones knows about saving face is by literally injecting botulism into his cheeks. So we'll see if he gets something done because on paper, the Cowboys have a good team. But as we know, they don't play games on paper. No, no. They play on games on surfaces somehow worse than paper. Yes, a couple of years after a preseason game was canceled because of paint, a preseason game was played on a field in Winnipeg that was 80 yards. 80 yards. American fans were saying, what the hell is going on here? While Canadian fans were saying, what the hell is a yard? I mean, that field was so short.
How short was it?
It was so short, Robert Kimdichie was nearly able to run all the way across it without stopping. Seriously, I don't know what the NFL is thinking with this stuff. I hear next year they just signed a deal to play a preseason game on one of those floating tents down a river.
I hate to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Antonio Brown saga continues, and the latest is the details of a lawsuit involving a fired chef and a fish head. Apparently, Antonio Brown fired a chef after seeing a leftover fish head in the freezer. Now, judging from his personality, I don't know why Brown would be afraid of a fish head, but judging by his feet, I could see why he'd be afraid of a freezer. So, yeah, in conclusion here, the craziness with Antonio Brown just won't stop. When the news of this latest crazy story came out, people in Oakland said, "It's no big deal." People in Pittsburgh said, "Thank goodness he's gone." And Andy Reid said, "So that fish head, it's still available, or what?"
I could. Did you make some
stock? Take a bite, but you got a stock of it. Yeah. Not going to eat it. You're not going to eat it. Or...
Oh, right under the wire, he gets it in. The sports kebab with.
Well, I'm glad to see Patrick Warburton amped your game up. Yes. Raised your performance a little bit.
I think he warmed you guys up to laugh, too. That's
I was going to go back to your series of Jerry Jones jokes. Are you suggesting that if we don't find something funny, not to laugh in future sports?
No. I like your fake laughs, too. You give me a good, solid laugh every time. Dan will somebody be like, "That's funny."
No, you got sometimes, him. You got him with the Eve joke.
Yeah, you Eve. Got yeah, yes. Yeah, that was good.
The delivery
good.
Of Eve.
I like that.
That was a little Norm McDonald-esque there.
Yeah, I like that.
Sports Kebab every Friday. Of course, you can follow Jarrett on Twitter and get the samplings of that humor all the time. Jarrett GC, JARRETT GC is where you can do that. I want to remind you, you can join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Chick-fil-A on 83rd Avenue and the 101. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, D-backs tickets, and more. The Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series lasts all season. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Coming up, the all-important third preseason game for the Arizona Cardinals in Minnesota. We'll give you our final thoughts heading into the contest next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day. Brought to you by Vital 4 Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital 4 Men. Find out more at vital4men.com.
Yeah, in honor of our guest Patrick Warburton, we thought we'd go with this. Slap the bass.
Yeah.
Seinfeld theme.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Isn't it amazing? 9 episodes. Putty's character was 9 episodes.
I'll bet you, if you looked up like Newman, I bet you Newman was only on maybe like 15 episodes.
45.
I bet you he was only on like 45 episodes. But still, that's only a fourth of them.
I got a trivia question for you on the Seinfeld front while we're on it. One of the four main characters was not in all 173 episodes. Who was
George.
That? That is incorrect.
That's not incorrect.
According to IMDb...
It's also Kramer. Kramer was not in the Chinese food episode. George was not in the Florida episode.
Mm. All right, dorks, let's move on.
Do you know who the only other person who's credited with being in over 100 episodes is? You'll never get this.
I don't know.
The woman that works at the diner.
Ah, there you go.
Ruthie, yeah.
Wow.
That was a lot of fun, by the way, having those guys in.
That was outstanding.
It sounds like a fun night out at the Tempe Improv, too. All right, Cardinals-Vikings tomorrow, preseason game number 3. I don't want to call them promises, but there have been assurances made that the Cardinals are going to look a little bit more operational, for lack of a better term.
It's a good way of putting it.
A few more wrinkles. It does worry me a little bit that they advertised it so much after this veil of secrecy that they've been operating under for so long. Now they've created a level of expectation from their fans tomorrow.
Listen, let's say the Cardinals win the coin toss and they receive and then say that first drive looks like just calamity. That would not bode well for what's going to surround this football team heading into week one. So the optics do matter here, and they shouldn't, but they do. And here we go. I mean, this is not an easy thing. I don't know how much Mike Zimmer is going to throw at him. They get a real physical defense. I don't know if Mike Zimmer is going to want to prove a point the way John Gruden wanted to.
Yeah, you wonder how much of that, you know, pretty boy label that came out last week from that Raiders game bleeds over to other other competitors, especially in the preseason. It really doesn't mean much. I don't think Mike Zimmer has as much to prove as John Gruden and his coaching staff has to prove.
I think that what the Cardinals could do more than anything is just if they can just look solid up front, if they can run the football a little and stop the run a little, I think we have low standards for this game of what will be acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, hearing you say that, it's true, because going through my head right now, I want to see a frontline player for the Cardinals make a positive play.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Offensive line or defensive line, show some stoutness, show some fight, show some physicality. I mean, that's Wolf's key word. He's been harping on that for a week and a half now. Physicality.
Of the projected starters, I can think of one person who's made a play this preseason.
And that was Jordan Hicks. Yeah, and that was to save a drive in which they were getting gashed.
Yes.
So, and again, it gets down to this, because you really have to divide them up here. If the offense is being under a veil of secrecy for whatever reason, okay, that's their strategy. This is what they do. They are a football company paid to win football games. They have made a strategic decision. This is the way we're going to unveil our offense. Okay, fine. There's going to be ramifications and or rewards that go with it. That's their call. But there's nothing that says this defense can't stop somebody unless they're not good enough. And that would be really frightening to me, is if we're dealing with the same thing of a defense that just can't stop the run or allow teams from playing downhill. That's what I saw last year. It was almost like every time the opponent had the ball, it was just they were going downhill on the Cardinals, and it was just, man, you can't let that happen in the NFL, and that's what I want to see. Some physicality, some fight, some pride. Make Kyler Murray, if you're an offensive lineman, make him feel comfortable. They don't have to go score a touchdown. I won't freak out if the first team doesn't score. I won't. I promise. But protect him.
Will you freak out if they do score? Well, going back to the defensive side of things, obviously that their defense has been compromised already by injury and suspension. You won't have both of your starting cornerbacks to begin the season in Patrick Peterson and Robert Alford. Vance Joseph, looking ahead to the regular season, commented on that. It changes the way that they're going to play defensively.
Well, you know, I think first, you know, not having your best players, you know, always affects you. We've got to play differently, you know, until we get Pat back and hopefully get Robert back, you know, soon. But until that happens, you got to play differently.
Yeah, so what does differently mean? Do you think you're going to have to play more zone than you planned to protect young cornerbacks?
It's a guess, because, you know, most quarterbacks, if you're bringing a bunch of pressure, that means you got a lot of one-on-ones in the back end. So I think if you want to protect your corners, you got to play more zone and more fire zones and rush forward and play coverage. That's the way I would do that thing to help our corners. But every game plan is different, and we'll see, you know, how it fares against Detroit.
Yeah, that begins really tomorrow for these corners. Patrick Peterson's not going to play in this game. He's been scaled back. I wouldn't expect him to play anyway. Robert Alford, obviously, with the injury, he's not going to play. All right, Tremaine Brock, what do you got? What can you show? Byron Murphy, everybody's confident that you can get the job done, but you are just a rookie in your third preseason game. Light shining a little bit brighter on those guys in this game tomorrow.
Like, you saw some of the Jaguars game last night, right? Of course you did. That first-string defense looked engaged. They looked powerful. They were just turning the Dolphins over. Every time the Dolphins' offense came on the field, four plays later, they were trotting off the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see some of that. Turn the Vikings' offense over. Turn them back. Turn them away. Turn them over.
The problem is, though, I'm not saying the Cardinals don't have good players on their defense.
Yeah.
That Jaguars defense is just loaded with dudes.
And that Josh Allen addition, that team looks frightening. I watched that, and again, it's preseason, but it would be hard to watch that game and not go, that's a worst of first team. There's your worst of first team right there. just based on that defense. But we'll see.
And you know what? Based on what else is happening in that division, I mean, there's question marks about Andrew Luck's availability now to begin the season in Indianapolis. You know, Tennessee hasn't looked
Marcus Mariota's been up and down, and I totally agree. Yeah, so it's right there for them, and I think they're feeling it. So then again, they've got, we'll see what they get out of the quarterback position, but they're in better shape than they were before with Nick Foles.
I agree. Tomorrow in Minnesota, touched on this earlier. Do you think there will be even one false start on a Cardinals quarterback tomorrow? Because of the clapping.
I think there will not be. I think that the issue has been resolved. I don't know what made it such an issue last week, but I don't think we're going to see it again, hopefully ever.
I think it's true what Cliff Kingsbury said. I think it was officials getting acclimated to it. Do the Cardinals adjust? Do the officials adjust? That's what needs to be worked out in these next 2 weeks, regardless of who's playing. That starts popping up in the regular season. You want to talk about demoralizing.
Oh, yeah.
That'll sink the confidence anybody has in this team real quick. Kyler Murray lead a touchdown drive, yes or no?
I'm going to say no, Vinny.
David Johnson have a run over 15 yards?
No, Vinny.
Great. Sounds awesome.
It's my predictions.
10 o'clock kickoff. All your pregame coverage early in the morning right here on 98.7 FM. Arizona Sports Station. Thanks again to Patrick Warburton, John Walk. You can go see him at the Tempe Improv doing Letters from a Nut this weekend. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Burns and Gambo are next, but first we leave you with this. I responded to him rationally.
Did you?
Yeah. I just said, hey, wanted to hear your thoughts in a conversation because it's so far away from what the consensus is on that particular player. That's all we wanted to do.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And then I took a picture of my butt and I sent it to him.
We all have needs, Vinny. I have needs. Her view, she's got a stunningly gorgeous view of this parking lot of construction going on at ASU.
Wow, they look at that. Those guys over there, they got the Union outfits on. Oh, well, look at there. They're the Confederate guys. Wait a second. That Union colonel's drinking a Mountain Dew. Like, you know, there are little things that will tip you off that it only seems real.
This is the XFL.
You got to get after this guy because you got to respect this guy, man.
You're selling a lot of season tickets for one guy, man.
Tuesday.
Knocking down a
home day.
Oh, my back.
My back and my neck.
Who's talking about you?
Who's talking about you?
Who's talking to you?
Who's talking about you?
Like, I literally want to see him, like, literally running like, with his head on fire.
Yay or nay?
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I kind of am. Vinny?
Wednesday.
I do know.
Chai Gonzalez.
Woke up this morning, stood up, got out of bed.
Dragged a comb across your head.
Heads,
eat them up, yum.
There might be more attractive candidates.
This Diamondbacks team, I'm all in.
Strike one. But Blue, that was over my head. Strike two. I'm happy. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I am excited for NBA.
I know you're not trying. It just comes natural.